Dr. Homebrew is brought to you by Five Star Chemicals, providing safety and cleaning supplies for brewing, distilling, and winemaking at fivestarchemicals.com.
Doctor, look!
Stand aside, nurse. I'm Dr. Homebrew.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dr. Homebrew. Here we are. We're back for February, talking homebrew, talking to homebrewers, and, loving life. Just loving life. You know what I mean, fellas?
Yeah. It's been a while since we've been here.
Brandon, Keith, Kyle, Steve, our two grandmaster.
Keith, Kevin, Kyle, Steve.
Don't promote us just yet. Yeah. I got to grade a lot more exams to get up there.
Oh, that's right.
I'm a great master.
So you're master BJCP judges. You would think I would know that.
Master B.
Yeah.
Yep.
Master B. Anyway. We're here to judge beers, fellas. So if you want to get in on the beer judging action, email me, jp@thebrewingnetwork.com. I have a list. Here, let me turn the stupid music off. There we go. I mean, the shredding, the riffs, Bray. I have a huge list. The back order lists, I have ones from September of 2017. So I have a ton of people to get through. So don't worry about it. I have them all. I have, 20 or so. So you will get on if you have a specific beer, mention that, and I'll try to get to you, earlier, because I understand if you want specific feedback, that's what we do, to help you in our competition. Competition season's coming up, and maybe we can try to hammer you in, but, otherwise, you're going to be waiting a little bit, but please do, don't get discouraged. Email me, jp@thebrewingnetwork.com, and I will get you on the list.
Yeah. And we give specific feedback. Interspersed with very vague feedback.
Yeah, well,
and you never know which is which.
That's the best way to do
it.
That's
the fun part of it.
Yeah, that's the best way to do
it. That's one of the tricks of becoming a master judge, really, is interspersing your specific and vague feedback.
Your specificity versus your vagosity meter needs to be just dialed in. Before we, get all weird on everybody, we want to thank our fine sponsors at Five Star Chemicals. You go to fivestarchemicals.com. Learn about all the great ways to clean and sanitize your homebrew in two easy steps. Not three, not one, but two.
Yes, there are two steps. Knee-deep in a bucket of PBW last night, kegging some beer. It was fun. Well, I mean, not literally.
I don't think you're supposed. Yeah, I was saying you're not supposed to put your knees in.
Yeah, I think you're doing it wrong.
Yeah,
I think you're doing it wrong. But hey, man, God bless. Whatever you want to do, man. That's the great thing about homebrewing, man. Just whatever you want to do, whatever feels good.
Put it in my hot tub.
Yeah. I'll tell you what feels good right now. I'm drinking I wish it was a pint in a pint glass. It's not a pint. It's 10 ounces.
Dark mild.
For whatever reason.
Black mild.
But
sorry.
Of solidarity from my boys at Eagle Rock. And I just, every time this beer comes out, I fall down. I put my knees in Star Sand or whatever it is.
Aaron's working on the pint glass thing out there, I think.
No, I think he left.
Oh, okay.
He's not working.
He's working on some liquor. We're also sipping a Redwood Curtain alt beer here, too. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Up from Arcata.
And,
down from
what, the last beer is the Russian River.
Road 2 Hill 56.
Yeah.
We're just drinking all the beers right now. And that's a good
passing
thing.
Passing them around and, yeah.
You know, I went to Portland a couple weeks ago, and I visited zero breweries. Zero tap rooms, and I felt amazing about it. Hmm. I felt really good about it. I didn't do the beer guy. I'm going to go all the beer and just hunt all the beer. I didn't do any of that stuff, man. I went to tiki bars and drank cocktails and
good
and
coffee
drank and rum and ate a bunch of food and kind of just did that whole scene. It was actually really refreshing to go to this like kind of beer Target, and not care. I drank Rainier.
Yeah,
I had one beer from Freem. It was a pale ale that wasn't really a pale ale.
It was extra pale.
It was just pale ale.
Okay,
but it was too bitter and too hoppy for a pale ale. It had the body of a pale ale, but I was like, okay, sure, whatever. I just went straight back to Rainier. That beer's a good beer. I know it's lagered, and I'm straight with it. But and then I got sick coming home. I had the flu.
Man.
And then I was like, you know what? I haven't had a beer in like 6 days or 7 days, so I'm going to try to limit myself. A lot of my friends are trying to limit their alcohol intake for, you know, 2 to 3 days a week. Do you guys have friends that do that?
Yeah. I hear about those people.
Yeah. You never spot it in the wild. So I'm like, okay, well,
no,
Let me try that. So I had one beer one night and I was like, okay, cool. And then we went out, met some friends for dinner, and then, well, there was more beer. And then the next night, some friends came over and opened a bottle of wine. And then last night I had a drink, and then the other night I had a drink. And so I was going to try to limit myself for 2 nights. It hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't worked at all. I was like, oh, tonight I can...
Slippery slope. You know, I do sometimes partake in alcohol, and one beer sometimes turns into two. And especially when you have like 30 or some kegs in your basement, you're like, hey, I'm going to try one beer tonight and see how this is tasting. You're like, oh, that tastes good, but let me taste it against this beer. And then next you know, you're jumping from tap to tap on kegs, and you go through your whole 32 beers, and you realize you've been down in the basement for 3 hours, and your wife's pounding on the floor on top of you, like, where are you, sort of thing. So, that's never happened to me, of course. This is all made-up story.
Yeah, but that sounds very much like conjecture, not really. I think part of like doing what we do for a pseudo-living is, or at least for entertainment purposes, is trying to separate your... excuse me, your professional drinking from your just like fun drinking. Mm-hmm. Like it's, you know, like I don't think of like having beers now as drinking alcohol. I'm sure my doctor would not agree. But you know what I mean? Like in my head, I parse it out and I don't know why.
It's research.
It is.
And I think, you know, also mentioning like people who drink like for a living, and then like brewers, for example, or, you know, someone who works in a brewery, a lot of times when they're drinking for fun, they don't really want to drink like the beers they're brewing. You know, they don't want to necessarily drink a double IPA. They're really into like a Helles, or even like you said, like rum drinks. Last time I was back in town in Pittsburgh, you know, when I was with one of my friends who owns a brewery, and we went to a rum bar. You know, that's what we did for fun. You know, instead of going to another brewery, like, let's go out to a rum bar and check out some, you know, have some crazy drinks with a back scratcher in the actual drink and you know, stuff like that. And you're like, this is crazy, this is fun, but it's just a little different thing than every day you're just, you know, inundated with beer, and you're just like, enough.
Already. Yeah.
Have something totally different.
Yeah.
I'm having fun. See a brewer that you really respect in the back just pounding, sipping a PBR while they're brewing these fantastic, crazy hoppy beers or whatever they're making.
Yeah, it was cool, man. I've been reading this book on tiki drinks called Smuggler's Cove, Sunken Cove, Smuggler's Cove. And actually, the guy Martin Kate who wrote the book, he's going to be on Heads and Tails in March, a March 21st show.
That the bar that's in
San Francisco.
Yeah, I've been there before. Yeah.
He owns that. He owns Holly Pele in Portland.
Does he also own the Gin Bar? Is that another bar?
I think so. He owns.
I was
a
there
few of them.
On Saturday night before going to see Superchunk. We went over to. What is it called? No, I just forgot the name of it.
Whitechapel?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He's partners
with
Matt.
We were in Whitechapel. We were over there.
But anyway, this dude's like, he's a rum judge. And so he's going to come on the show on Heads and Tails and teach us all about rum. And I was reading the book, and they do, some of like the Jamaican distilleries do this thing. They have what they call dunder pits, where they as the molasses is fermenting, so they can distill it into rum, they'll top crop that essentially and put it in these like wood lined pits, and they'll throw like rotting banana peels and stuff in it and just let the Brett and the wild yeast and all the funk, and then they'll take some of that dunder and then they'll add it into some of their other rums, and it's just this funky thing. And I'm like, I always thought rum was just kind of blah, you know, whatever. So I went to this rum bar called the Rum Club in Portland, and I was like, give me a funky rum, man. And it was like the hints of sour beers, obviously not tart, but that Brett farmhouse funk. In a kind of a refreshing manner. It was really good.
Gnarly little twist. Yeah.
I'm kind of stoked on rum right now.
And I have a friend in Pittsburgh who opened a really great rum distillery called Maggie's Farm. And they make really, you know, one of the best ones I've had from them. I can't remember the name of it. Like, I think it's called the Queen's Share, and it's all made from heads and tails from distilling. So, you know, I used to distill a little bit too, so I know how some of this works. But at some point, if you really want them on, we should talk about this after the show. But if you want them on the show, let me, you know, just a call. I can just come to Pittsburgh and grab some bottles for you. You can taste them.
No, that'd be dope.
While he's remote, so
give me his phone number right now. Just say it on air.
412.
Anyway, today on the show, we are going to be drinking a saison.
from a saison, yeah.
A saison from Dave. And then we have...
Oh, are we doing that?
Yeah.
Boy.
We have this beer called Kick Your Own Ass. Brian Cooper.
What? I didn't brew that beer.
This is Brian. No one can hear you because you're not on the microphone, Beverly. This is Brian's beer from the Pico Pack, the Pico Brew. The people at Pico Brew, of course, they have the Pico Brewers Network.
It's the actual laboratory analysis, the sample here. Yeah. So yeah, we're being the test audience. I have a little form I need to fill out to send back to them to tell them if I approve this or not.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, they were doing mine for a little bit, and then I kept sending them tweaks, and I think they just kind of stopped and then went on to you and Warren and everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, of course, JP is, you know, a little, I just don't really like, of course, I didn't like a lot of things, right? So, which is not new for anybody. So hopefully I'll get to have my thing. But anyway, so we're going to do those. We don't have Dave on the show. I believe he's working tonight, or maybe I probably forgot.
We can use the picture of Dave Steeb, though, from the Toronto Blue Jays from the mid-'80s, and we can just have this picture sit here, and I can pretend like he's talking. But look at that.
That's a mullet, wonderful...
mullet and a mustache.
Wonderful mustache.
To. Well, yeah. You can't have one without the other, dude. Not in the 80s.
I miss my mullet.
Brian cut his hair. It wasn't even a mullet. It was long
hair.
Well,
I had a mullet in the 80s. Yeah.
Oh, and you miss it?
No, yeah, I should have. No, not really.
Okay. I was like, wow.
I should have had my hairstylist cut my hair into a mullet first. I just had her shave one half of it off, and then we sent a picture to my wife and said we were done. So
anyway, I got a half price haircut. Anyway, let's drink Dave's saison. Let's do that first.
You're pronouncing it wrong, JP.
Saison. I do have another. Well, the other bottle is in the fridge.
That's
in
fine.
The
we're good. We
in just, the John, so it's probably fine.
That's good.
Oh, look at that. There we go. Man, we were talking when we were judging this, or when the guys were judging this, and I was surfing on the internet. You don't really see many saisons anymore. You really don't. Like, you used to, I think a year ago, was like the saison high watermark. And then now it's like, every once in a while, but not really.
We had a saison in our beer judging 101 class earlier this month for SF Beer Week, which was awesome, by the way.
I was sick for most of the SF Beer Week. So I only did one event, which pretty much was not awesome. I was also out of town, but yeah.
But we did pour the Saison DuPont, which is, nice. One of my favorites, obviously.
Got the Saison thing. All right, Brian, well, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Yeah, we didn't really talk about this beer yet before the show, but was it? It was it's a tasty beer. The aroma, I have a pleasant medium-low malt.
Meat.
Pleasant meat flavor. hints of mustache and mullet. Medium-low malt with kind of bready and somewhat cakey quality, but not super delicate. Just kind of a bold malt in there. Light white pepper, phenolic below that. There's some pleasant fruity esters in there, but they're somewhat muted. Little just kind of apple-y, cider-like impression. I'm not getting any DMS or diacetyl, so it's not. You know, it seems cleanly fermented. There's definitely some obvious alcohol in here, and it's inviting. So take a look at it and take a sip. It's a deep golden beer, very clear. Pours a low white head that faded really quickly to a color fine bubbles. So I dropped it down a little bit for the appearance, but again, that's just 3 points there. So you're not going to lose too much. It looks like beer. The color is right. Okay. It's fairly clear. Dry and malty and in balance with a medium-low yeast pepperiness in the flavor. Again, I'm finding the fruitiness is somewhat low in here. I'd like a little more of that popping up to kind of, balance up against the malt impression that's there. Like a little more of a fruit bowl impression would be fun in this beer. The bitterness is, I would say, medium, maybe medium-low. Hop flavors are generally low. It's a bit floral spicy in there. Seems like a pretty clean ale ferment, but the alcohol is popping up kind of medium high. I would say it's just a bit solvent-like, but it's not really harsh or anything. But the malt and the alcohol kind of linger in balance in the aftertaste there. Medium-bodied beer with a bit of heat from the alcohol that's going down into the back of my throat and coating, soothing, relieving. It's but it's not really burning. It's not harsh, but it's definitely there. It's a little alcoholic, but I can forgive it, I guess. It might just be a higher alcohol version of the style, or there could be some higher alcohols in there. Probably there are. No astringency, medium-low carbonation. I would say the carbonation is another thing that's hurting it here. It's too low for the style. It's not spritzing. It doesn't pour that big fluffy white head that you want. So it's just not really working in that regard. And that might help some of the flavors pop a little better, and maybe even some of the fruitiness come out better. But overall, it's a pleasant drinking saison. It's just lacking some of the pleasant, light, fruity, cakey characteristics that you really want. It's not quite smooth enough. It almost comes across more like a Belgian Golden Strong to me. I would suggest finding a way to back off some of those higher alcohols, bring up the CO2. Obviously, with alcohols, you want a vigorous, healthy yeast pitch, and aerate properly, ramp up the temperature at the end of it to keep that yeast going. Whatever you can do to get it nice and dry and happy and alcoholic but smooth, and keep some of those nice,
like Billy Dee Williams,
fruity impressions. So I gave it actually liked it. I think it's close to the style, and it's not, not defective. The only thing is really alcohol and a little bit detracting from the CO2. So I gave it a 34. This is a very good saison.
All right, Keith, Kyle, Steve, let's do this.
Let's go.
Okay.
So you have an orange fruitiness in the aroma, mild orange fruitiness with I had a really strong root beer like aroma when I smelled it.
Root beer,
sassafras,
yeah, like sarsaparilla or like mug root beer.
Yeah,
herbal mug.
Yeah.
Now that I get it, but I would consider that like a spearmint wintergreen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I do get that a lot of root beers too.
But I think sarsaparilla is maybe more close.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm also going to touch an anise.
nice.
Don't touch my anise.
Yeah. Ask permission first.
Some spicy. Not picking up any hops. Getting some light malt, biscuity aroma. Overall, like Brian said, I think it's fairly clean. I'm not really, nothing off. No acetaldehyde, no diacetyl. Not overly phenolic or anything like that. Gave it 8 out of 12 in appearance. In aroma, I'm sorry. Appearance, deep gold, brilliantly clear. Those aspects were really, really pretty. The head was a little bit low. It was lasting, but didn't have that dense or rocky characteristic that you normally see in a Saison, like a Saison DuPont. Kind of tough to pull off, but yeah, I noticed that that was not there. Flavor-wise, medium fruity. Again, orange, got some apple, got some lemon, got some strong peppery notes with a light clove flavor, some grainy pills like flavor. Finishes fairly sweet for style. It wasn't really crisp. This could also do, as I'll talk about in a few minutes, about the CO2. Hop flavor was really low. Got light herbal there. Balance is nearly even. I would like to see it be a little bit drier in the finish with a little more bitterness. Clean fermentation, though, overall. 14 out of 20 for flavor. I gave it 2 out of 3 on appearance. I forgot to mention that. It says it was lacking that big rocky head. Mouthfeel, medium-low body. Carbonation is medium-low. Definitely that could be higher for the style. It really needs to be. Medium warming. I didn't really detect as much alcohol as Brian. I definitely detected alcohol, but I didn't think it was way outside the style guidelines. No astringency. I think it wasn't very tart or very dry.
You'll get that. I mean, it's very warming, I thought, but I guess they can be. So
yeah, I didn't think of it as like a
not out of this.
You mentioned Belgian
realm.
Golden Strong, and Belgian Golden Strongs tend to be really dry. And I thought this one overall, I mean, one of my complaints about it didn't really come off as a very dry and crisp beer, which a Saison should be. There is some alcohol there. I mean, I'm not going to, it may be like a close to a super Saison, but I didn't think it was necessarily hot or burning or anything of that nature. Overall, I thought it was tasty, well made. Like the malt character, like the fermentation flavors that we were getting. Like to see maybe a little more hop character.
Some of the ones you get over there are fresh, I've heard, are a lot hoppier than what you kind of taste in homebrewed versions here sometimes.
I would like to see it drier. And I mean, one or two things, or maybe both, like a little bit drier, a little bit more CO2. So think about, you know, I mean, some suggestions there. Obviously, up the CO2. I think that's really important first. Think about maybe adding more sugar or modifying the mash procedure regimen so you can get a little more dryness there. Like, see a little more pop, and maybe even just a little more sulfate in the water would do that as well. And, you know, I think, you know, you have the room to do a little bit of that, and just want to see a little bit more mineralness in the finish, too. I think some of the best examples have that finish, too. So overall, though, I really did like the beer. I thought it was well made. Just need some tweaks to really to put it over the top. And I think even just the CO2 alone would probably get it closer to, you know, a winning beer. But I gave it a 35, which still is possibly a winning beer, depending on the competition.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of felt like, you know, it has everything you want there, but a lot of things were just a little low. Even, like, the pepperiness could come up, and it was just, like, subtle. Some of it can be just bold and in-your-face peppery in balance with that the nice, smooth alcohol, the fluffy malt, and just, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and the fruit bowl thing, kind of. But it's like, everything's kind of there, but it's muted.
I thought it was pretty good, man.
And just,
I think,
like,
the peppery
said,
was good. The flavor of the esters were really good. I thought it was a well made. It was one of the better Saison homebrew versions that I've had in a long time. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, it's tasty for sure.
I give it 4 out of 30.
Do we have Dave's recipe?
No, we don't have anything from Dave.
We don't have anything
from
Dave.
Which, again, is probably my fault, and I'm going to apologize in advance to Dave, because I don't think I scheduled a time with him soon enough. You know what I mean? So
let's get him to send in another beer sometime.
Yeah, that would be...
I'll take more beer from this
guy. Would be good. I know he's from South Dakota. I have his address.
Okay.
So, you know, there's that. But anyway, sorry about that, Dave. Anyway, we are going to take a break, but before we do, I do want to let you guys know that the month of February is all about love, of course. Everybody knows that. And what better way to show your homebrew how much you love it than with custom labels from Grog Tag? You can choose from one of our professionally designed templates, customize it any way you want it, and you're ready to wrap your homebrew bottles in the most stylish labels around. So check out grogtag.com today and use code BNARMY to save 10% on your next order, grogtag.com. Okay, we're going to come back and we're going to taste Kick Your Own Ass Ale, which is, what is it, a stout?
No.
Is it a cider?
No, it's a 22B.
22B.
Or 21B, sorry. No, 22B.
He doesn't even know.
I'm looking at the wrong sheet.
He doesn't even know.
It's American Strong Ale.
American Strong Ale. All right, everybody. We'll come back. We'll drink Brian's beer, and we'll kick his...
I thought we're going to judge that rye IPA.
I guess we're going to kick his ass. All right. Dr. Homebrew, we'll be right back.
Hello, fellow BNers. This is Sully from the 21st Amendment Brewery located in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park. Before Nico and I opened the 21A and before I was a professional brewer, I homebrewed on my small four-burner apartment stove in a back house in Santa Monica, California, making my extract brews before graduating to the daunting idea of all-grain brewing. Homebrew books and information was hard to come by back then. The internet hadn't been invented yet, along with other things we take for granted today, like electricity and potable water. One thing I wish I had back then when I was learning was a radio show that could teach me the ins and outs of brewing and answer questions that I had about homebrewing, a resource for making great craft beer. The 21st Amendment Brewery is excited to be a proud sponsor of Dr. Homebrew, a great show that teaches you what you need to know about making incredible beer. Good stuff. Listen up, you might learn something. I certainly did. And thanks for your support. Tasty Crack Games.
Now, back to the examination.
All right, thanks for hanging with us, everybody. I was looking at Brian's label for Kick Your Own Ass Ale, and I think it's a winner. I think you should enter that into, like, Homebrew Label Awards, man.
I brewed it back in, originally back in 2004 with my brother Jimmy, and it's a beer that was inspired by Stone's Arrogant Bastard Ale, so I wanted to brew an American Strong Ale. Back then, they called it something else, but they didn't. It was just the most like intensely arrogant beer we could find at the time, and yeah. It was fun to try to do it. So we also wrote a song about it, but the Hoppy Beer Song.
Hoppy Beer Song. I'll see if I can find that. I know I have it loaded somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, Keith. Well, why don't you start us off with the old Kick Your Own Ass Ale, and let's see how Brian's recollection of his recipe deals or, coincides or lines up with the Pico version.
Yeah, so do we want to explain how this came about, like what this all means? Because I have no idea what the hell I'm doing here, but okay. I know how to judge, but we can talk about it after we judge it and then talk about it, or how do you want to do it?
What do you mean?
So where did this come from, and how does this work? Like, so someone else brewed your beer, like Pico actually brewed your beer?
Yeah, so the Brewing Network people, except for you, because you weren't with us yet, I guess, were asked to submit some recipes to the fine folks at Pico Brew. And, yeah, JP sent me a picture, like, many months ago, or like maybe years ago. I don't know. It's been a while. It was, yeah, anyway, of Annie brewing my beer in the laboratory there. And, so we just, I just sent them the malts and, basically a 5-gallon recipe with the proportions of grains to use and all of that, and the hops and yeast. And I kind of got specific about water. Maybe they actually even listened to me. Maybe they did. But, yeah. And then they brewed it, and I don't know how many pilot batches they did, but it's been in the works for a while, and it's going to be released as a Pico pack that you can buy on the marketplace. So
yeah, and now we got it.
So if I give this a really low score, then it'll
affect
what the...
So hopefully,
frankly,
we will...
I don't give a shit what Keith thinks about it. If I like it, I like it, and I approve it. So
Nice. Brian dropping the curse, the rare curse word. You're up, Dr. Humber. No, I mean, it's a good question, Keith, because honestly, it is kind of... It does ride the line a little bit between what we do here. You know, it's Brian's recipe, so we're going to judge it just for fun, but I think Brian should be judging it to see if it matches up with his recollection of the beer, and then what we can do to make it more to style, and then what we can do to totally screw it up for Brian.
Yeah.
That's fun.
So go for it, Keith. Let's do this.
Okay. So aroma, initially got this strange sunflower seed / vitamin-like aroma.
Sunflower seed. What is wrong? Where are you broken mentally to, like, you're coming up with this weird... Yeah, I've never heard of that.
The root beer, the last beer, this time sunflower seed, it's all... And now, this time around, the first time I poured it was sunflower seed. This time I'm getting more of a vitamin-like aroma.
Do you ever, honestly, just as an aside, either of you, do you ever, like, come up with a weird analogy, like sunflower seed, and go, no, that's a little too esoteric. I need to, like, bring it in to, like, more in line with acceptable stuff? Because I would never have the balls to write sunflower seed.
Oh, I think it's kind of fun because sometimes you smell something and you're like, what the hell is that? And it's kind of fun when it hits you. You're like, oh, that's what it is. That's what it reminds me of. And sometimes it'll hit you right away and you're like, okay. But other times you're like, what is that? I know it's something I've smelled before when I'm cooking or eating or something. And then you're like, okay, that's it.
But you would never, you kind of go with your gut.
Yeah, definitely.
Verbiage. And,
yeah. I mean, then you talk about some of the stuff that would actually, you know, maybe produce that aroma. And this one, I have no idea what in the world. I mean, the vitamin, like, I guess it could definitely be a water thing or even a yeast thing. But it's not super strong on either one of those. But it's just something that I got off the nose right away. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But not overly powering, overpowering in aspect of either one of those. But,
okay.
Yeah, it also came out really cold because I just pulled it out of the bag. Wasn't sure we were going to judge it already. So it was pretty cold. It's warming up a little bit now. We're tasting from the same bottle, so...
Yeah.
Could be some changing impressions
definitely. And that even happens from, like, that's kind of the cool thing about going back when you're filling out a score sheet as a judge. You start off and you fill out stuff, but you can leave some space for you to go back. So after it warms up a little bit, it changes. You can add different comments as well to the aroma. So it's not like when I judge, when I write the aroma area and move on, I'm never going to come back to aroma again and put something else up there. Anyway.
But I do get the vitamin-y, like opening a jar of Flintstones vitamins.
Yeah.
The vitamin dust. Fruity, so probably those fruity esters from fermentation or whatever.
Yeah, it is pretty fruity. So we have some white caramel malt. I get some apple. I'm getting a touch of acetaldehyde. I think it could be some of that fruitiness as well, just, you know, from maybe some red and green apple esters, but it does, to me, come across a little bit acetaldehyde. I definitely get the alcohol as well, get some booziness, a hint of vanilla. The hops are a slight citrus orange character, but mild for the style, especially, I would say, for an American strong ale. Give it 8 out of 12 for aroma. Appearance, medium to medium dark amber, slightly hazy, just a touch of a tan, a finger. No, I'm kidding, it wasn't a finger. A touch tan head. Low on the, you know, the head was pretty low on the pour, but it does have a fairly good retention. So it's not like it totally dissipates, but it is kind of a low head on the pour. 2 out of 3. Flavor, I got a strong orangey flavor out of the first impression there. Mm-hmm. Low toast and caramel, lots of alcohol again. I think it's kind of a little bit boozy. It was drier in the finish than I would expect. I was expecting a little more caramel, a little more maltiness.
Yeah.
But there is definitely some interesting malt character going on, but the balance is firmly on the hoppy side of the, but the beer still had, like I said, has the interesting malt character, but not a lot of sweetness. I thought the sweetness was pretty subdued in general. Once again, light acetaldehyde, but I'm also getting some of that green and red apple esters along with that, and I wonder how much of that is kind of mixing it up, but I do on the finish sometimes. Actually, on a lot of beers, I can taste acetaldehyde just in the finish in general. I think I have a super low threshold for acetaldehyde.
Was that a humble brag just then?
No, it's actually a big fault with my tasting, because sometimes I just taste stuff and I'm like, oh, acetaldehyde.
It's something that judges have to be aware of is your sensitivities and your weaknesses.
Yeah, and I probably, you know, if I'm being a little bit harsh on this just because Brian's sitting next to me. And trying to,
please.
He's within striking distance. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to hit me probably.
I'll make up for it by giving it a glowing review after this.
Brian was in too good of a mood when he came in. So
No. I gave it a 10 out of 20. That might be a little low. I think actually I'd probably get
that
a little
is low.
Than
bring it up.
20. I'll just bring it up right now. Just for the hell of it, I'll give it a 12 out of 20.
There we go.
Then we'll be within 7 points.
There we go. We didn't talk. Yeah, we should normally talk about this in advance. Mouthfeel, medium body, medium low carbonation. The carbonation is a little on the low side. I got lots of alcohol again. A little too much for the style. I think maybe a little aging would do well. And obviously that would bring down the hop flavor some. And maybe actually it'll help with the bitterness too. I'm getting some hop astringency in the mouthfeel too. 3 out of 5 there. Thought it was overall, as the name says, it's strong ale. This is definitely a strong beer. I get lots of alcohol. Hops are fairly present in the bitterness. I'd like to see a little more malt sweetness, sort of balance that out, and maybe a little more of the flavor, aroma, even though I dig the orange sort of character to it, I would like to see maybe a little more of that, or even just a little, maybe a different hop to kind of go along with that. And then finally, just the acetaldehyde, you clean that up just a little bit, but overall, I really did like it. Gave it a 34. You know, it's kind of an interesting style because the alcohol would go down, like I said, but as you age it. But at the same time, you know, the hotness there, the kind of the warming I'm getting, may become a little bit more finer and then a little less burning. But at the same time, then you try to lose some of that hoppy orangeness. So I don't know. I mean, it's a tough call there. Do you want to add in more? Add in more hops to the finishing, and then sort of, or you know, I don't know. It seems a little dry to me. So I would be interested in seeing a little more hop sweetness there to kind of balance out that bitterness. I said a bunch of different things there at the end, but
as long as
I wasn't listening to any of them.
Should I go? I judged this beer.
I want to know what JP thinks about this beer.
I judged this beer. This is my, I think, third official actually time judging it in like 4 years.
And 115 shows or whatever.
Something like that, man. Okay, and actually, I did work. Look at that. I wrote more than I did last time.
Seven words.
Wow.
I drew pictures.
Beautiful.
The aroma, I thought it was medium high. Hop aroma, which is the style, of course. I didn't get a whole lot of citrus in there, but I got a lot of pine, that kind of pine resiny thing going on. Deep toasty malt. I thought I had a nice crystal malt nose in there, too, in the aroma. I gave it 8 out of 12. I thought it smelled really good. That's just my thing. I gave it 3 out of 3 for appearance because it hit all the style jobs. For the flavor, medium-high bitterness. bread crust. It was really dry. I noticed that, it was, I definitely thought it needed more flavor, more body in there. This kind of had these focused resiny hop flavors. Look, I rushed this. Okay, it's fine. Mm-hmm. 14 out of 20 for flavor. Mouthfeel, I thought, kind of had a medium body, which I was a little disappointed in with the category. I think it needs to have kind of a more fuller body, right? It's a little too dry. Yeah. It cleans up a little bit too much. The alcohol warmth is there for sure. I gave it a 3 out of 5 for the mouthfeel. Overall impression, I liked the beer. I thought it was good, but again, a little too dry. Could possibly need a little more hop flavor in there as well. I mean, you got the resiny, and that's kind of it. I would like to see some kind of fresh hop flavors in there. 8 out of 10. So overall, I gave it a 36. I thought the beer was good. I really enjoyed it. I just think it needs a little bit more. You can goose it a little bit more, like 20%.
Look at your score sheet. I've only seen one judge who filled out score sheets worse than you, and he's dead now.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah, that's...
Wow.
That was
you're not talking about Lee.
No. Lee's score sheets were awesome.
I know. Yeah, that's why.
That's not what I'm talking about.
That's okay. Why it was funny.
Well, I'll go quickly over my score sheet notes just for fun.
It was hilarious.
I thought it had a medium low citrusy heavenly hop aroma.
Heavenly. Get out.
I know. But I did get a nice hint of resin. The hops were kind of lower than I thought they might end up being, but I like the way it worked with that rich maltiness in there.
Was it a righteous amount of resin?
Righteous dark caramel notes and a slight hint of a smooth chocolatiness, not dark chocolate, but just kind of like a smooth light chocolate and faint toast. Some smooth low alcohol. I didn't get any DMS or diacetyl or acetaldehyde. Appearance wise, I found like a rich light copper color with orangey gold highlights. For me, it poured a medium off-white head, maybe medium-low, but it stuck around very well and had some finer and larger bubbles. But I actually gave it full points for appearance because I thought it matched what I wanted it to look like.
It's not brilliantly clear.
Who cares?
Well, that's a real
homebrewer. I was in my car on the way here. Flavor-wise, rich malt with dark caramel, a little biscuity and toffee-like notes, and a hint of toast and chocolate. Firm alcohol is evident. It's cleanly fermented with medium-high bitterness. I thought it was a nice balance between the hops and the malt there, mostly the bitterness of the hops and the malt. There's not a whole lot of hop flavor. What is there? It was kind of resiny, a little citrus, a little pine, malt and alcohol in the aftertaste. Body-wise, I thought it edged toward medium full-bodied. With it had a very firm, smooth alcohol warmth. It might be a little lighter on the alcohol for the style, but that's okay. They don't all have to be 9%ers, you know. Medium carbonation, although if it's called Kick Your Own Ass Ale, maybe it should be. But we'll talk about that. And when we brewed it, it was a 7-something. It was always, it was never meant to be 9-10, but you can still kick your ass with it if you try hard enough.
Yeah, you can kick your ass in multiple ways.
We pretty much did. Yeah, we kicked our own asses and wrote a song about it. Smooth with no astringency, bold overall as hoped. The overall impression of rich and bold American strong ale was a pleasant balance between malt and hops. Good rich malts as well. A bit on the lighter side for color, I thought, but actually kind of matched what I wanted for, and I was happy with the beer. So I have to give it the obligatory 40 points.
Not a 50. That's too bad.
A little partial, though.
Well, okay, I think we're all within 7 points, and that's great. What are you going to do to tweak this out, or are you gonna suggest any changes?
I like it.
Yeah?
I don't know. I think I like it. I think it fits the
you're gonna leave
the
it alone.
Character of the beer that I want. What would you guys do to change it?
I would add more sweetness. Somehow finding a way to get more sweetness in it. I think that's sweetness. Yeah. And I mean, the hops thing, that doesn't, you don't necessarily need more hop aroma or flavor. That's kind of a, but I just feel like it feels thin and overall. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that a little bit of sweetness would help balance out the big bitterness that it has. And even the alcohol, I think it would just kind of come together a little bit better if it just had a touch more sweetness. I think that's what it's really,
I think what's probably pulling away from that is the gypsum. Because I had 2 2 teaspoons of gypsum to the mash water just to, I mean, I got the whole water profile I was going to aim for, but can I talk about the recipe?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, kick your own ass ale. It's supposed to be a bold, arrogant brew with rich malt notes, a grapefruity, piney hopperona aroma, and a dry finish with firm alcohol throughout. I didn't really want a sweet finish. 5 gallons. ABV is supposed to be around 7.85. IBUs around 86. Original gravity 1074. Final gravity 1014. I don't know what this one finished at. The color is supposed to be around 14 or so. But yeah. So grain bill is 2-row, 85%-ish. 70-80 crystal around 11%-ish. And flaked oats around 4%-ish. So, give or take, the actual percentages you have to kill me to get.
Worth it, let me tell you.
It's all Chinook. Yeah. There's the Chinook pellets, 90-minute boil, 1.5 ounces. At 30 minutes, another ounce. 5 minutes, 3/4 ounce. And dry hop with 3/4 ounce for 5 days. So, it's fermented with WLP01. KL ale, single temperature mash, infusion mash with a fly sparge. Well, that was the recipe at 149, 60 minutes. I wanted it nice and dry. And the gypsum, 2 teaspoons in the mash water, and some Irish moss or whirl flag, blah, blah, blah. But yeah.
Wild Irish moss, is that what you
say? Wild Irish moss, yes. The wild Irish mosses are smiling today.
So are you going to leave it alone? That's the big question.
Well, can I ask you one more thing? Instead of making it more sweet, like what I was just drinking right now was an alt beer.
Okay.
Would you consider adding maybe some other character, not like, you know, not sweet character malts, but something like Munich or Vienna to up that a little bit? Like, cause I think that would make it more interesting as well to add a little bit of the malliness,
yeah,
not necessarily sweetness, to kind of change that. Because right now it is, I mean, I don't know, Chinook, I think, as well, is a very powerful bittering hop, mm-hmm, when used. And then that gypsum together kind of gives you really just I don't know, it's a little bit of a sledgehammer approach.
Yeah. That's what I'm going for.
And that is what you're going for. That's fine. And that's what people want. Then that's great. But I, you know, for me, if I were looking to, hey, make this beer like a little more accessible.
A little more finesse
to it. Maybe that's exactly what you don't want to kick your own ass with finesse. Maybe,
yeah, it's,
you
want to
kick your ass, kick your own ass with
it's not fair. Kick your petit boudoir. It's kick your freaking ass.
But yeah. I am judging it as a BJCP judge, and this is the feedback I'm giving you as an American
Thank
strong
you,
gal,
judge.
What I would actually look for.
Cool.
But,
yeah.
But, you know, like, yeah, as a beer, if that's what you want, then that's what you're going for.
Right.
I think you nailed it. I think it's more of a matter of, like, I was judging it to style.
Yeah, no, and think, too, I'm traveling back, like, 14 years trying to recreate a beer that my brother and I made in my apartment in Pleasanton. And, you know, we were drinking Arrogant Bastard and looking up clone recipes for it and kind of finding something similar. And, you know, it's been modified a little bit over the years too, but, yeah, and this is definitely not what Stone does with theirs, but it's, you know, Chinook to me was a gnarly hop back then. And of course now you have Citra and Mosaic and all these different, you know, and experimental hop 7251B and, you know, they're all these different, hops that may not work with a beer like this. Like, to me, I like the piney and resiny character, and that was like a shock to me at the time. I'd never tasted a hop like that when, you know, and I don't know, I think Stone probably bittered with something more neutral. They might have bittered it with, I don't know what they, honestly, I don't really know for sure what they use in it, but
yeah.
I think when we toured, they had some Magnum around there and used something probably else for aroma, but
it's fun. I mean, it's good.
It wasn't, and it's not meant to be exactly like Stone. It's just it's kind of inspired by that. And the name is inspired. My friend Steve, we were at a little bar it's like in San Francisco called the Knock Knock Club, and it's like if you were on acid and went into the set of the Flintstones, it would be basically like that.
Is that right by Tornado?
Yeah, on the Heat. And it's
the Knock Knock Room.
The Knock Knock Room, sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Whatever. It's been a while since I've been there. And they had La Fin du Monde, the Unibrew, on in bottles there, or maybe even on draft. I don't remember. But no, I think it was bottles. And my buddy Steve was buying bottles of that. And it's like, he's like, wow, this is kick your own ass beer. We were laughing about that. And just kind of inspired, like, the name and
yeah. Well, look, yeah. I think I like it that it's kind of like a 90s beer. This is like a, when I drink a beer, I go, this is like a 90s kind of a recipe. So I like it. I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't bring it into the future, but I would goose it a little bit because, you know, it is kick your own ass ale. You gotta
give it make it stronger.
A little, maybe out of, at least a little more mouthfeel. Just a little bit. Maybe a little more bitter. I don't know. But that's me. But, hey, man, you let us know what you're going to do.
Okay, I will.
Because I'm interested in that.
I could bump it up to 7.99% alcohol, but I don't know that I want to go any higher than that. I want it to be 7-something.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, like you said, to kick your own ass, you can't just have one beer. It has to be multiple beers over and over again. That's, like your friend was talking about, a triple. The Fin du Monde is essentially a triple, and it's a beer that sneaks up on you, and you're not really sure that, you know, like, I didn't realize I was kicking my own ass until my ass was already kicked.
Whoops.
And, you know, and it's like this kind of beer, you don't want it to be so sweet where you're like, one and done, or a little glass like JP had over there of the Black Mild, like one and done with that. You don't want that. You want it to be something you could have, you know, three or four, you know, pints of, and then you realize
something you can drink.
So
a bit.
I get what you're going with there, but maybe something like a Munich malt or Vienna malt or something like that there that's giving you a little more character, and it doesn't necessarily make it so much sweet where you're like, oh, that's heavy, but at the same time gives you a little more character and even maybe some mouthfeel. Some getting something else in there as well would help. But
speaking of getting something else in there that'll help, the AHA has the Brew Guru app. If you haven't checked that out, you probably should. It's free on the Android and Apple and all sorts of devices like that. It will tell you where to get your discounts for your AHA membership. It will tell you where there are good beer bars around. It'll tell you where there are good homebrew shops around. So check it out. Brew Guru. It's free. You don't have to be a Zymergy member or AHA member, rather, to use it. However, if you do, there's a little bit extra level of engagement and involvement in there for you to enjoy. Check it out. Brew Guru. All right, we're going to be taking a break here, and then we're going to come back and wrap it up. It's Dr. Homebrew. Hang on.
Do you know the three most important rules in brewing? Sanitation, sanitation, and sanitation. And no one does it better than Five Star Chemicals. Five Star knows sanitation. You can only sanitize clean equipment. And Five Star knows how to clean, too. For craft brewers and home brewers, Five Star has what you need to keep your fermenters, serving tanks, kegs, and draft lines sparkling and free of any beer-spoiling bacteria. PBW, caustic, acid cleaners, Star Sand, Santa Clean, lubricants and defoamers, pH stabilizers, and more. Five Star Chemicals has cleaning supplies, safety supplies, heat exchangers, pumps, hoses, and valves. And Five Star is proud to offer eco-friendly products that exceed customer expectations. If you have a cleaning problem, you need the Five Star solution. Visit FiveStarChemicals.com or call 800-782-7019. 800-782-7019 and get the Five-star treatment today.
Are you a member of the White Labs Customer Club? If not, you should be. It's the easiest way to earn free stuff for turning in your old homebrew labels from either Vials or Pure Pitch. All you have to do is save your labels and redeem them for things like free yeast, an exclusive White Labs t-shirt or sweatshirt, and even the opportunity to brew with the yeast man himself, Chris White. Signing up is easy. Just go to whitelabs.com/customerclub, fill out the registration form, and then mail in your labels. They will return the favor by sending you awesome White Labs swag. Go sign up today at whitelabs.com/customerclub. White Labs, pure yeast and fermentation since 1995.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but we're going to have to pour you out.
Back to Dr. Homebrew.
All right, thanks everybody for hanging out as we wrap up this episode of Dr. Homebrew. Of course, normally we would be giving away prizes to both of our contestants, or at least to one of them. And today, the winner, just because Brian is an employee of the Brewing Network, such as that means, oh man, my mouth keeps touching the cover of the microphone that everybody uses, and it creeps me out. We're going to give the Grog Tag $40. At least your beer will look good. Gift certificate to Dave.
There we go. Dave gets everything today.
And appreciate you, Dave. Sorry again, man. I blew it. It's my fault. You blame me. I didn't get to you in time, so we couldn't hear from you, and I do apologize about that. But, hey, man, I liked your beer, and so did everybody else. So
keep,
good
keep
job.
Keep growing that mustache and mullet.
Yeah. And you're still throwing that heat. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you're named the second best player ever in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays. So
man, yeah, look at the guy's picture. He had that mustache with a life of its own.
All right, stay tuned after the segue out of here. Because I will play Brian's Hoppy Beer song. We played it before, but honestly, he won't shut up about it until I play it again. So we're going to play it again after the show. You can hear Brian with apparently his brother, I would imagine.
My brother Jimmy. I wish he was here tasting the beer with us, but I'll drink his share now. So.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Anyway, everybody, thanks a lot for tuning in. And if you're listening live, just stay tuned. We'll be starting another episode in about half an hour. Otherwise, just go ahead and hit next on your player, folks. And we will see you later.
Something like this. I drank a beer, I wrote a song, and I knew it sure as hell wouldn't be long until I fell right on the floor. And then I had to drink some more. The beer was good, it's understood that I am drunk and feeling good. I don't think you're drunk enough.
How about swilling down a cool 5-gallon keg of some kick-your-own-ass ale?